For thine, for yours, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That scripture brings to mind the story where it was asked, how many times should I forgive? And you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. You'll find that scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 22. There was this king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. One of his servants owed him 10,000 talents. In today's market, that's about $150,000 a year, and I got that number from the computer. The servant was not able to repay, so the king ordered that the servant be sold with his wife and children. The servant said to the king, I will repay you all. The king had compassion on the servant and forgave the servant all the debt. Now that same servant went out and found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, and that's about $100 for each day's pay. And he took this servant, he took him by the throat and said, you pay me what you owe. So other servants saw what had happened. The man fell down to his feet and he begged him, saying, have patience with me. I will repay you all. And that servant would not. He had him thrown into prison till his debt should be paid. Now those other servants who had witnessed what had happened, they went and told the king. So the king called that servant to him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you of your debt because you begged me. You should have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had compassion on you. The king was angry, and he put the man, he sent the man to the torturers until the 10,000 talent debt was paid. So when I read the Lord's Prayer that's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, that reminded me that if you do not forgive your brother's debt, then God may not forgive you. The prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's what we should do. That's what we should be about. Hi there. I am Sandra Harris, your hostess. Welcome to the Feed My Sheep show. And I thank Blog Talk Radio for giving me this opportunity to do what I believe my God has instructed me to do, and that is to feed his sheep and to minister unto his unto the people. And I am to fear not. Of course I fear. I'm doing what I've never done. I have never been good at public speaking. But because I want to be obedient to God, I'm stepping out here on faith. As usual, or as I have told you before, whenever you're listening to this particular program or this show, I want you to have your three P's ready. And you say, well, what are the three P's? Your pen, pencil, and paper, along with your King James Version of the Bible. I may say something that you might want to recall later, and you will perhaps written down a Bible verse. It's like I just told you about the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Now, my King James Version of the Bible may read a little different from yours, but the stories are pretty much the same thing. Yeah. So this subject for this evening's program is the things that the Lord hates. But before I go there, I want to go to the book of Ezekiel, and you'll spell that Ezekiel. That's Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. And it reads, "When the righteous turn from his righteousness and commits iniquities or sins, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it." And my purpose is to have everyone repent that's listening to me, who are doing things that they know is out of the will of God. And, of course, I'm going to talk to you this evening about a few of those things, the things that the Lord hates. Also, I want you to know that if you overcome those things that you're doing that the Lord hates, there is a reward for you. I want you to turn or write down Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 through 8. It reads, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable," that's detestable or unpleasant to God, "the murderer, the sexual immoral, that's couples who cannot procreate, those of being the same sex, procreate, P-R-O-C-R-E-A-T-E, that's sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." Brimstone is sulfur. So, and that's where the book of Revelation says Satan is going to end up. So now let's go to the reason for this evening's topics. And you'll find that in the book of Proverbs, P-R-O-V-E-R-B-S, and that's chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. And I've spelled these different books of the Bible out because I'm hoping that there are new listeners or people who do not read their Bible and will go and purchase a Bible. It doesn't have to be a new Bible. You can go to the secondhand store or the, Salvation Army and purchase a used Bible. And they're pretty good. The Bible that I read from now, it is used, at least one of the Bibles that I read from. I'm going to have to go get another one that has bigger prints. I am an older woman now, and my eyesight is not as good as it used to be. So, are you at the book of Proverbs, chapter 6? It reads, "These six things the Lord hates." And, yes, seven are an abomination to him. An abomination is something that is unpleasant. One, it says, verse 17 says, "A proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that sheds innocent blood." And we all know what that is. Well, most of us do. And for those that who do not, I will tell you what I think it means. a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brothers. That seventh one, the one that soweth discord, is what the Bible says is an abomination to him. So we don't want to sow any discord, period, among anybody. So let's go back to the first one that the Lord hates, a proud look. So I'm thinking, well, I suppose that's a person who thinks that they are better than you are, and they might want to look down upon you because perhaps they have more education. It's an attitude that they have. I call it the oppressor. A lying tongue. Let's go to the next one. A lying tongue. I think that's one who tells stories that's dishonest. One that makes promises and don't keep them. I can be accused of making a promise and not keep them. But the majority of the promises I've made over my life, I have kept. A lying tongue, I think, is when people are talking something that is not true. And that's like reading a fiction book. And the one thing that you should know about me is that I love writing fiction books. I really do. And when I get my company up and running, I will come back and tell you. It is called Feed My Sheep Books, though, but I don't have like a website or anything like that. Let me get back to the things that the Lord hates. Okay, well, the next one should be the hands that shed innocent blood. Now, the first thing that comes into my mind, and I thought I said, and yours too, and that is an abortion. You know, that's innocent blood in my view, no matter what the Supreme Court says or what the law says. I think that the Supreme Court is not in with God on that one. You know, they're just not being obedient to what the Lord says to allow that. And then what else came into mind is killing. Like in the Bible, there were these two brothers in the book of Genesis, Cain and Abel. Well, Cain killed Abel. And Abel's blood cried out from the ground. So that shedding of innocent blood. Also, I thought about the war. I thought about the war. That shock and awe. I really thought about that. I said, oh, my God. And I don't want to make trouble for myself by saying shock and awe, but I just thought that was wrong. But that's just my opinion. Most people don't listen to my opinion. But I'm doing what the Lord told me. He said, feed his sheep. Now, what you do is you think of your own opinion when you think about hands that shed innocent blood. The next one is a heart that devises wicked plans. And I'm thinking, well, that's your thoughts. You know, you're always thinking about doing something that's not nice to somebody. You want to make somebody feel bad. Or if that person has done something to you, rather than letting it go, oh, I'm going to get that person back. You know. And that's not the mentality we're supposed to have. We're not supposed to devise wicked plans, sheep. And you know it, sheep. But most of us have been trying it on. People have said things about us, talked about us, when we didn't, at least in my book, have talked about me. she's not smart enough. She's not pretty enough. You know, those things. Let me go on to the next one. And that is feet that are swift and run into evil. My first thought about that was someone stealing someone else's property. You know, you run into it, you want to do it. And sometimes once people start, they do something for that first time, and they like it, oh. And then that's when sin comes in. If they don't want to repent, they'll keep continually doing that because of the excitement that comes from that, you know, running into evil. I think of sometimes a male cheating on his wife or a wife cheating on her husband. Oh, don't say, oh, you know about it. Well, I do know a little bit about that, but I don't want you to do that. That's why I can tell you about it. The next one is a false witness who speaks lies. Well, who doesn't speak lies? Most of us do. It's just a hard thing to control. And when I read that, I thought about, have you heard people talk about, man, we went fishing, and let me tell you about the big one that got away. Well, that big one may not have been the big one. It was just one, and it probably did get away. But, you know, you just make it bigger than what it is. Or, you know, when you go to court, perhaps someone is on trial and someone gets on the witness stand and lies and just intentionally lie. Just lie for the heck of it. Want to see that person gone anyway, so he try to make his lie sound reliable. And then the last thing, which is really bad, and that's something that you really don't want to do, and that is to sow discord among brethren. You know, I was about to tell you what I thought about that, but I better leave that one alone because I'm not strong enough to handle what I may say, you know, to back it up. But I think that that means don't cause divisions, you know, just because, you know, maybe a girl or on the other hand, a situation that I saw years ago. There was this young man. He was dating two women at the same time. And the one was with him and walked up on the other one that was with him. Well, the one girl was saying, baby, come on, da-da-da. And what are you talking about, baby? What? And then there was the discord. They began. They actually had a fist fight. So this is what I'm saying. Try not to be the cause of a fist fight or anything like that. So to just go over it, those are the seven things that the Lord hates. You can find that in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. 1, a proud look. 2, a lying tongue. 3, a hand that sheds innocent blood. 4, a heart that devises wicked plans. 5, feet that are swift and run into evil. 6, a false witness who speaks lies. 7, and the one that God hates, that's detestable to him, that is an abomination. one who sows discord among brethren. So sheep, for those of you who did not know, I hope and pray that you have gotten something out of this evening's talk. And before I go, I want to share with you my favorite scripture. And you can find that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, I think. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him." That's acknowledge God. "And he shall direct your path." That's my favorite scripture. I learned that years and years ago. I think in a Sunday school class. Nowadays, there's not Sunday school like they used to have. Some churches, they're having like two services. But if you, I want you to find a church home soon. And when you go find yourself a church home, you ask the pastor about what is it like when you have But you ask the pastor, there are certain things that you should know. And when I come back, my next program, I think I'm going to write out the things that I think that you should ask the pastor, because I don't want you to just join any church. I don't want you to join a church where they practice abomination. Join a church where they're speaking about God's words. You know, just as I read the Bible's scriptures to you, that's what you want. Although you might want someone to preach as well as a great choir to sing, that's good. But what you want, you're searching for the Lord. You're searching for God. And I know from my experience lately going to church, people are coming in by droves, young men. And I'm thankful for that. You're coming in, you're trying to find the Lord. And I hope God finds you and directs your path. You know, life has not always been easy. But let me just go with you with this closing prayer. Father, I thank you for the sheep that you have all over this earth. Keep us and protect us from the evil one forever, no matter what the decision. And Father, thank you for allowing me, giving me the courage to do what you have told me to do. And I appreciate that. Amen. Listen, sheep, wherever you go, take the Lord along with you. And as the old folks used to say, if it's the good Lord's will and the creek don't rise, I'll see you next time.
Let you down.